Evening. I will now call the January 27, 2025 Sussex County Board of Adjustment meeting to order. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are there any changes to the agenda?
There's one change, Chairman. Case number 13033 for Melissa Burbage for a special use exception for a commercial dog kennel will be removed from the agenda tonight as there was a mistake in the advertising, so we will bring that back at a future date.
Okay. For a motion to approve the agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Mr. Lovinga?
Aye.
Dr. Carson?
Aye.
Not two. Motion 4-0. Agenda is approved. Approval of minutes for November 4th, 2024 meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I will make a motion to approve the minutes for November 4th, 2024.
Second.
Mr. Lovinga?
Aye.
Dr. Carson?
Aye.
Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Not two. Vote of 4-0. Minutes for November 4th, 2024 have been approved. Approval of minutes for November 18th, 2024.
Mr. Chairman, I will make a motion to approve the minutes for November 18th, 2024.
Second.
Dr. Carson?
Aye.
Mr. Lovinga?
Aye.
Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Not two. So vote of 4-0. Minutes for November 18th, 2024 meeting are approved. Approval of findings of facts for November 4th, 2024.
Mr. Chair, I move that we approve the findings of fact for November 4th, 2024 as presented.
Second.
Williamson?
Aye.
Mr. Lovinga?
Aye.
Dr. Carson?
Aye.
And I, too. Vote of 4-0. Findings of facts for November 4th, 2024 meeting are approved. Findings of facts for November 18th, 2024.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the approval for the finding of facts for November 18th, 2024 be approved.
Second.
Second. Dr. Carson?
Aye.
Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Mr. Lovinga?
Aye.
Not two. With a vote of 4-0, findings of facts for November 18, 2024 meeting have been approved. Public hearings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the time and place for hearings before the Board of Adjustment. There are a number of public hearings this evening proceeding in an orderly fashion and ensure full participation by those present with an interest. Hearings will be conducted subject to certain rules. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, take directions from the chairman. Unruly or disorderly conduct will not be tolerated and may result in expulsion from the room. Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, handicap, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, gender identity, or source of income. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people in these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the board in its deliberations. Each application will be announced. The applicant will be asked to come forward and be sworn in. The applicant will then present the case, explain the request, and present any exhibits or testimony in support of the application. The burden is on the applicant to address the statutory factors for a variance or special use exception. Copies of the standards can be found on the table in the rear of the room for your convenience. The board may ask questions of the applicant and any of the witnesses. The board will then invite public comments. Supporters go first, followed by opponents. Please identify yourselves by name and place of residence for the record. All persons must be sworn in order to speak. Please be concise with your statements and avoid being repetitive. The board may ask questions of supporters or opponents. If you have questions for others, those questions must first be directed to the board, and the board may then direct the question to the appropriate individual. Once all testimony has been presented, the public hearing is closed, and the case will be voted upon or tabled for consideration at a future meeting. All board matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open session. All persons present may stay throughout the evening or remain online to view deliberations at the end of the agenda or to call the board's office in the morning for the result. These proceedings are available to be viewed live on the internet. If the board renders a decision this evening, please be advised that that decision will not be final until the written findings of fact are approved by the board and filed by the board secretary. Any action taken prior to the filing of the written findings of fact and expiration of any applicable appeal period is taken at the property owner's risk. For those here this evening, if you have a cell phone, we ask that you turn to silent service for the duration of the meeting. When you come up to the podium, please make sure that you hit the button on the microphone so that it lights up as green. That indicates that your microphone is on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sharp. First case.
Case number 13034 for Karen Kemper and Isabel Lavadens. Seek a variance from the side yard setback for a proposed structure, section 115-183 and 115-25 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the west side of Sandalwood Drive within the Sandalwood subdivision. The 911 address is 4 Sandalwood Drive, Rehoboth Beach. The zoning district is AR1, agricultural residential, and the tax map is District 334, Map 13, Parcel 346. Specifically, the applicant is seeking a 5-foot variance from the 15-foot side yard for a proposed addition to the dwelling.
See that button for the, yep, there you go. All right, you may be sworn in.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Zachary Coons, 27436 Oak Meadow Drive, Millsboro, Delaware.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Present your case.
Requesting the variance due to the location of an existing pool. The way we want to build this addition, without doing that, we're only going to have about 5 feet from the entrance of the pool to the entry door on the side without having the variance. Addition would be small for proper functionality without variance due to the pool location. Without the variance, the structure would be close to the pool. The home was purchased from the previous owner, so the applicant did not create difficulty as an existing structure location on the property. Addition would be placed in the rear of the home and will match the existing home style and colors. It will also be covered with a 6-foot fence, so you're really only going to see a roof line and maybe 6 feet of siding. You'll need a minimum of the 5 feet.
Are you the?
I'm the contractor.
Contractor?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're out of the country.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Yep. Thank you. Any questions?
Mr. Coons, can you explain why this location and you have a request for variance and so I'm seeing a concrete patio and understanding that some, maybe all of it was pre-existing, don't know.
Yeah.
But could there have been any other location other than the one that's been chosen in order to build the addition?
Not really. So on the other side of the house, there's an existing sunroom, the purpose of that room flows well for like people coming in and visiting and kind of hanging out in there versus this area is going to be more of an office space and kind of exercise equipment. So they want it attached to their bedroom. That way it's kind of an easy flow going into work in the morning. Without the variance as well, if we shrunk the size of it, it's going to be pretty much unusable. Just not enough space to actually do what you want to do with the area. The main issue is that the pool location with that entryway right there,
right.
If we shrink that too much more, it's just going to be, I feel like it might be even a safety issue as far as having our stairs ending so close to the entryway of the pool. So that's why I think, and that seems like the best location on the property.
So the... I want to make sure I understand what you indicated, that the addition is going to house the mechanical components for what I would call a pool house for the pool.
No, so it's going to be like exercise equipment and then like an office area, kind of a split of both. And then pretty much with our stair location, that was the main reason for it, because if we have the stairs going down the side, so you have a full view of the pool. So as of right now, without the variance, that wouldn't work due to how close it is. So it's really just an office area that's being added on to their bedroom. So there'll be a small hallway going into that area.
And what you're requesting is a single story?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Did we receive, excuse me, any comments from the owners of lot number one?
Not that I know of, no.
We have not received any comments. I'm sorry, I neglected
at
you.
All.
At all.
And the blue line on the diagram indicates a fence?
Yes, yep, it indicates the fence, yeah. So it'll be, we'll probably move the entry door of the fence over a little bit, maybe a couple feet, but other than that, that can all stay pretty much right where it's at.
And if this was approved, then the side that faces lot one, there'd be enough distance for that portion of the facility to be maintained?
Yes, absolutely, yep.
Well and septic for the property?
That I do not know, so I do not want to comment. I know it's not in that area, for sure. So, for its location, I feel like it's probably county, but...
Okay, thank you.
Is there any homeowners association approval needed?
Yes.
Have you received that yet?
I don't believe so yet. I know they said that they turned everything into them, and it seemed like no one had an issue. So.
But do you have? You don't have any letters stating that they approve?
I haven't gotten one yet. They may have, and I might not have got it yet, but it's something I can email over or something like that if that helps.
Okay, thank you.
Questions from the board? Sharp?
Thank you. One of the standards that the applicants have to demonstrate is that the property has some sort of uniqueness to it, and that due to that uniqueness, it's created an exceptional practical difficulty. When I look at this lot, it's 100 feet wide by 230 feet deep, rectangular, appears to be of a similar size and shape of neighboring lots. Is that correct? And the house is centered roughly at the front portion of the lot. It's been developed with a pool, and large part of the building envelope is developed. What is unique here?
I feel like the unique issue of the property is the pool location, so it's kind of a hard place to do any addition. Because if we go off the left side, it wouldn't flow correctly coming out of the living room area or the sunroom area. So I think the uniqueness of this property mainly is the pool location. And if you see, it looks like the pool's a little bit shifted left on the property. So that right side, I think, is our best opportunity of building what they want in that location.
One of the things that has to be proven is that it's not a want, it's a need.
Gotcha.
Why is this a need for these applicants? Why do they need this?
I believe they need it because they need a place to work. And I believe it's a need just because, it's their property and something they think can help.
They look at a standalone structure rather than connecting it? Because I think if they were to do a standalone structure, they would not – one of the issues, and Ms. Lepore or Ms. Wyatt can correct me if I'm wrong, but if it was a standalone structure and was not connected to the house – they could be closer to a side property line if it's less than a certain number of square feet, which I think this would fit within that calculus.
Okay.
The issue is once you connect it to the house, now you've put basically the house closer to the property line than is allowable. Did they look at a separate standalone structure?
We discussed it. They just didn't like that it was separate from the house because of the need of it being an office, I guess, right out of connected to the bedroom. They needed to have an inside access to it. They didn't like the idea of having just an exterior access, because then it almost acts as like a pool house more than.
So they're going to use it as a pool house?
No, I'm saying if it was disconnected.
Oh, I gotcha.
That's the kind of what they had. They didn't want people to think it's more of a pool house, and that way it's more usable. Instead of walking outside, going into an office area, better just to be able to walk right through your hallway.
Are you aware if there's any restrictive covenants in the community that are at issue that we know of?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay, I have no further questions.
Does that complete your...
Yep.
You can take a seat.
Thank you.
Yep, thank you. Is there anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case? Is there anyone present who would like to speak in opposition of this case? You may step forward. Mr. Sharp, I swear you in.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Yes. My name is Sharon Owens. I am second owner of 6 Sandalwood, the opposite side to the Kemper plan.
Yeah, hold on. What's your address, though?
6 Sandalwood.
6 Sandalwood, okay.
I did mention that.
I thought you said lot 6.
No, so. 6 Sandalwood.
Thank you.
Which is lot 3.
Gotcha. And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for the thoughtful consideration of the plan. I, too, am the second owner of a property on Sandalwood. And what's the beauty of the neighborhood is that we've all been very respectful of the county zoning rules. When I bought my property, I too had a pool in a cumbersome, actually a runoff causing area. And we're blessed with setback that goes almost to the trail. So in looking at the problem that we bought, we at great expense moved the pool. We wanted a pool for various health reasons, but we moved it. So I ask you to consider that possibility for controlling the standards that you have set here in Sussex. Runoff on our development in general, because we don't have sewers that go under. We have these sewer catches at the end of our property. So it's a unique kind of almost rural look to development as opposed to some that's going in today. So I think part of your consideration should be the impact to the others. I know when you build on that side as closely to lot 1, they're going to have the same runoff problem. We had runoff from 3, from 2 onto us. We had runoff from their property onto our property when we bought, which caused us to have to install. Our crawl space was a flood zone, so we had to install some pumps and had to run it out to the gully in the front of Sandalwood. That is our reason for, or our excuse for sewer to run off. So that is an environmental problem here. And I want to address the fact that others on our block have done problem solving on these properties that were pretty small when we bought them, and maybe we had needs of other kind. Very, very recently, 10, number 10, which I don't know by lot numbers, because you're calling them lot numbers, but I can count. 1, I think 6, yeah, number 10. You see that they, too, kind of ran off here and didn't have a whole lot of room over to 8. And they wanted more space for a gym, ironically, for a workout room. And both of them are doctors. One's a dentist and one's a doctor. They built up. You know, and that, I think, when you're talking want, is a nice solution for a community. Secondly, there have been newer homes built, we still have two lots that are out there. And one of the most recent lots were developed both with a second floor and a basement. I don't know why, with the wetness of the properties, but he chose to have a basement. And I don't know the number. I should have driven down there today on my way here. So, you know, there's all kinds of solutions for expansion here without encroaching on neighbors. And I can address lot number one. It was owned by a very elderly couple who no longer live there because it was two-story, and they have relatives, I don't know whether renting or living there. So that's probably why you haven't heard from lot one. Lot one already is getting some, if you were to drive on a wet day, you'll see that they're already having water coming from Hebron Road because the sidewalks were added recently where they had trees. The trees were cut in half and a sidewalk was put in, I think, for Shellville. And they're already flooding out on that side. So in essence, what we're going to be creating for number one, which was a difficult property to sell because it was on that busy corner. They have water on Hebron side. Now I can assure you with the amount of concrete surrounding lot two, you're going to have a lot of runoff. We chose to take our concrete out when we saw the runoff problem and put pavers instead at a great cost to us when we moved the pool, but we did not want to disrespect the flooding around us. And that's my concern as a former planner myself and a former insurance agent number two. You know, we're creating problems we don't need to if we approve this plan. And then lastly, our HOA has clearly always said we abide by the rules of the county. So the variance question is certainly one that would and could get, you know, a really big pushback here. One of the members of, one of the owners of this request was on the board, our HOA board, and gave up her tenure once the new regs went into effect. And the last set of regs, and I've been here long enough to know, we specifically said the HOA would not address any variances. We would not consider variance. And at the end of her tenure, that clause was taken out. So I think there's some, I hate to say motivational, respectfully, I do think this was set up to do this particular thing, and I ask you to please consider this very, very carefully before you agree. And that's all I have. Do you have any questions for me?
Questions? Sure.
You mentioned that the HOA abides by the county's rules. Are there restrictive covenants that impose side yard setbacks within the community?
It's funny you should say that. When I bought my house, which was the other side of their property, we had to move. Their trees and fence were on our, and there was a prior covenant with the former owner. And when we went to settlement, our attorney said, whoa, you know, we don't want to have you buy a house with that particular problem on your title. So we talked, you know, pretty favorably and said, well, there's two options. We can, at our expense, move the fence so we're off your property line, which we did do, and we removed the trees. So, you know, there's some encroachment history here, and that worries me.
But I guess my question is, does HOA, the community, the restrictive covenants that typically run with the land, and in some communities they will have specified setbacks, as far as where structures can be located. Now, you had mentioned that your HOA abides by the county's rules.
That's correct, sir.
Is there anything in your restrictive covenants that specifically says what the setbacks are, like a number on them?
No, we don't have that, sir. All right.
And you would also, I want to make sure I understood you correctly, that your covenants previously did not allow for a variance from them, but now there appears to be a provision.
The clause is, you know, mysteriously out of the last set of bylaws, which were just filed in 21. And during COVID, so many of us weren't even at the meeting, unfortunately.
Do you have concerns that if they did this addition, it might lead to a domino effect in the neighborhood?
For sure. Because what, as I mentioned, the number 10 was the most recent request for development or request for expansion. And instead of affecting lot number 5 and lot number 11, they built up. You know, and that's an option. We wanted some living space that was deck related and outdoor related. So we, outdoor porch in the yard, we moved the pool back because there's plenty of equally runoff areas in the back of our yards.
All right, I have no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Questions?
Anyway, thank you. Thanks for all the service you guys give us. Appreciate it.
Is there anyone else present who would like to speak in opposition to this case? Not seeing any. Any further questions from the board?
Chair, I don't know if we wanted to give Mr. Coons an opportunity to rebut or not.
Mr. Coons, would you like to speak on any of the opposition?
Okay. You could take your hat off, sir.
Oh, yeah, sir. The only main thing I was thinking of there, if we do build another story on top, it would change the whole look of the house anyway. And then also the cost difference of doing an addition versus a whole another story. You're talking 4X cost. That's my main argument.
Yeah. We have a question.
Question for you, Mr. Coons. If this request for variance were denied, do you know, believe Mr. Sharp asked earlier if a standalone structure, what do I know, where the concrete patio is, as an example,
yeah.
If a standalone structure could be built that wouldn't require a variance, wouldn't require anybody to be in front of us, if you know if that has been considered by the owners.
It's been an idea that was thrown around. They didn't love the idea, so that was where then we came up with this design.
Okay, and you understand that the difficulty that's being expressed and in the request for the variances is that you're asking us to put a variance in place when another option may be available.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
At this time, we will close the public hearing for case number 13034. And we're looking for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move that we deny case number 13034. I believe that the applicant has failed to demonstrate the property cannot be developed in strict conformity with the planning code, and that the requested variance is being created by the applicant.
I'll second that.
Motion and a second. Mr. Williamson?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Lovingeth?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Carson?
Aye, for my reasons.
Aye, too. So a vote of 4-0, case number 13034 has been denied. Next case.
Case number 13035, Brian Cox, seeks a variance from the side yard setback for a proposed structure, section 115-183 and 115-1-42 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the west side of Misty Lane. The 911 address is 32952 Misty Lane, Lewis, Delaware. The zoning district is general residential, GR, and the tax map is District 334, Map 11, Parcel 95. There's one letter of support, zero letters of opposition, zero mail returns. The applicant is requesting a 4.1-foot setback from the 10-foot side yard for an existing structure. The existing garage is under 600 square feet, and as it stands, it has a 5-foot setback.
Mr. Cox?
I'm Brian Cox, 32952 Misty Lane is my address.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Present your case.
If I may, I know we've got some folks here. You're free to leave if you're not staying for this case, so you don't have to sit around.
Can I move this to mine? I'm not sure how to do that. I'm sorry. Thank you so much. I feel like I should give a little bit more introduction, if that's okay.
Sure.
We bought this house in 2023, and we have a severely disabled daughter who lives with us, 19 years old. These are pictures of her with me and my wife. We are asking for the variance to modify the house so that we can add an elevator. Excuse me. And so we can make other modifications to the house so that she can continue living with us. What we're asking to do is join the existing garage with the house, and the elevator and would be added in between. In addition, we need to add a handicap accessible bathroom to the second floor, which doesn't have one. The house is kind of a reverse floor plan where the kitchen and the main living space is on the second floor. So Allison spends most of her time on the second floor with us. And the garage is existing with, as you said, within the setback that is required if it were to be connected to the house. As it currently stands, it's fine, but when we connect it, it becomes part of the house, similar to what you said in the previous case. So we're just asking for that wall to be able to stay in place so that we don't have to tear the whole garage down, move it 4 feet closer to the house so that we're outside the setback requirement, increasing the cost of construction dramatically. And instead, we'd just like to reuse the garage as it sits. A couple of the other points that we were asked to put in here, the property is rather narrow. My understanding of the area is that lots are supposed to be 100 feet wide, and as you measure it along Misty Lane, I guess it's 100 feet, but when you really measure it, it's 91 feet, further restricting our ability to operate within the envelope of the property, left to right or side to side. Let's see. We didn't create it. You know, the garage was built by whoever originally built the house. It will not alter the character of the neighborhood. If anything, you know, we're improving the look and feel of the neighborhood. Did I include a mock-up of what it would look like? This was just my, I'm not an architect, this was just me trying to mock something up, but if you scroll down, that's what it looks like today with the gap between the garage and the house. This is my idea that I handed to our architect saying, you know, we'd like to have a proper front door and we'd like to add the bathroom above the garage, and that second floor walkthrough area will allow you to get from the main living area into that extra space. The elevator would be somewhere behind that new front door in that space created by the breezeway or the walkway between them. And we really, we need that space in there. It's not all that much. There's 15 feet between the existing garage. We do need to expand the garage because it's currently only 20 feet wide. And when we park two cars in there, it's very difficult to get the door open. And then with our handicapped daughter, it's very difficult to get her in and out of the car inside the garage, which with like the recent ice is really important so that we aren't walking her outside and risking her falling, because we have to support her constantly as we walk her around. I don't know. That's probably about it. I'm open to questions.
Questions?
The question I asked last time, do you need any homeowner?
There's no homeowners association for this. No, it's we're just under the county.
And to understand this, you're going no closer to the property line than it already is. You're just taking that start point
exactly.
And you're moving it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the on the far left of this diagram, the wall doesn't change at all.
Gotcha.
It stays exactly the same. The letter of support is from the gentleman who lives over the fence right there. His name's Bob. And I approached him first to make sure he would be okay with this. He said, yeah, no problem. And then, you know, I worked with him to write that letter and have him submit it. So as part of the package.
Are there any other neighbors that would have any opposition to you doing this at all?
They aren't here, so that's good. The gentleman that's beyond Bob is a gentleman by the name of Jim. He developed, may I come over to the screen?
Sure.
So he built this brand new house here, and then he bought these properties here. So now he and I have adjoining property here. I talked with Jim. He doesn't care at all. He just built a 4,000 square foot house here. So if anything, he wants to see further improvement to the neighborhood. And then this extremely skinny property here, you know, I talked with those gentlemen, but they don't care. If anything, I don't know their setbacks, but I'm guessing they're well within, you know, the 10-foot setbacks, given how skinny that property is. Not that I'm trying to make trouble, but it's probably, anyway, I don't know how it was built. But so, you know, I don't. I wouldn't anticipate that anyone else would have any concerns. If anything, I hope that they greet the improvement in the neighborhood. There is a question about, you know, character of the neighborhood. It's very mixed, you know, if I'm blunt. You know, the Bob's place is a double-wide trailer. You know, two down is a trailer. You know, it's a very mixed neighborhood of types of houses, so I don't think we're changing the character. It's very eclectic anyway. Yep.
You have a well and septic on the property?
Yes.
Okay. Where are they located?
Septic plan may be in there, and if not, I can show you on the other one. Oh, that picture was better. Yep. Is there any way to go back to that? Do you see those four things? That is the I don't know the technical names for it, but it's that alternative type of septic that has peat moss things right there. The tanks for it are under this. It's right in that area. This construction won't affect that at all.
So those are in the rear yard to the rear of the house?
Yes, sir. The garage here, the footprint is there. This is a little shed that's going to come down. So if anything, we're getting further away from where the septic stuff is. And then the well is out front. The well's way up here.
Do you have any flooding in the rear yard from the Love Creek?
No, sir. Luckily, there's a slant or a slope. We're actually not even in a floodplain, surprisingly. So we don't have to have flood insurance.
I just want to make sure I understand this. The area above where the existing garage is, you're going to be putting a room there, and is that going to be her living area?
It would be more living area, yes.
Okay. And then there's kind of, I just want to understand, I get this. There's a, you got a garage, you're putting a room above it for living space.
Yes.
There'll be a, like a corridor with an elevator that would take you down to the first floor.
Correct.
There'll be a walkway on the first floor as well to connect the garage to the house.
Yes.
And there'll be stairs, steps, like a door entering into that.
That's right.
That walkway area.
Yeah.
Will both the first floor and second floor both kind of connect to the house?
Yes.
Okay, so there'll both be a walkway into the main living area.
Yes.
But the area is to allow your daughter to have some independent space? Or
She's not independent ever. Okay. It's to make it one. First of all, the architectural plans are in the very early stages. We wanted to understand whether the variance would be approved or not before the architect actually drew anything up. So these are all just my ideas. But one of the things my wife and I are talking about is currently Allison's bedroom is on the first floor, which keeps her quite separated from us. Our bedroom is on the second floor. At the back, that window that you see on the far right is into our bedroom. One of the things we're talking about is rearranging the bedroom structure so that Allison can be on the same floor with us. But I haven't talked to the architect about whether that's feasible from a space standpoint above the garage. So I'm not sure if that helps or answers the question directly.
No, I was trying to get a feel for what you're doing there. And if I understand it, the position is that the expansion of the garage will allow you to have easier access to get your daughter in and out of a vehicle in a safer environment than perhaps outside.
Yes.
It'll allow you to have an elevator so that she can safely navigate to the second floor of the home.
Correct.
And it also provides some additional living space, which may or may not be used for a bedroom.
I didn't say this clearly, I'm sorry. Above the garage, one of the primary changes is there's currently a powder room, very, very small bathroom, that would be changed into the walkway, eliminating a bathroom. And then what we would do is put a handicap accessible bathroom above the garage to replace that powder room. So there would be no change in the number of bathrooms. It would just be, we don't have a bathtub that's like got one of the doors, but we had that when we lived in our prior home. And so we've been looking for a way to add that kind of bathtub.
So you don't currently have a handicap accessible bathroom?
We have a small, we have one in a very small bathroom downstairs. I don't remember what program it was, but they came in and modified an existing bathroom by making a cutout to it. And that's working, but...
Not ideal.
And because, yes, exactly. And because it's on the first floor instead of up with us, it just adds to the logistics.
Certainly, I would imagine if you're on the second floor doing something, that you've got to go all the way to the first floor to get the handicap. All right. Thank you. I have no further questions.
That complete your presentation?
I think so.
Okay. Let me take a seat real quick. Why is hiding, but is there anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case? Anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to this case? Or is there any other questions from the board? At this time, we will close the public hearing for case number 13035 for Mr. Brian Cox, and looking for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 13035 for Mr. Brian Cox for the requested variances pending a final written decision and based upon the record made during the public hearing and for the following reasons. I do believe the variances will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, and I do believe the variance represents the minimum variance necessary. They are not moving any closer to any kind of lines with what they have existing.
Second that.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Dr. Carson.
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Lemongeth.
Aye for the reasons stated.
Mr. Williamson.
Aye.
And I too. So with a vote of 4-0, case number 13035 is approved.
And I know we're about to go to additional business. I just want to note there is no meeting on the 10th of next month. So I think there was an issue with having everybody here that evening, so we did not advertise. It was something we were going to bring up at our last meeting. It got canceled because of the snow. And as I understand, the second meeting in February, the folks who were on, we tried to get all, I think all of the ones who were supposed to be on the 6th of January have been rescheduled for that, which was the next available date that we could do that. So all those folks will be on for that one. So if you had already prepared, you may see some of the same stuff, and that's why. And then hopefully we'll have new applications, newer applications coming in the first week of March.
So second meeting of February will be lengthy.
I don't know that it'll be the same as we would have had on the 6th of January. I know there was one that we had pulled because there was advertising issues at that meeting, but it's back on. So I think it was in what the normal agenda was. So I don't think it's anything more than that. And in talking with staff, I think we're not booking that far out. I think we're like early April at this point. And even that, we still have, part of that is because we have one applicant with a bunch of applications, but there's the second meeting in March, we've only got a couple. So we're not pushing people out too far, which I know was something staff and I have been communicating about to make sure that with missing that one meeting and with only doing one in February, we want to make sure we're pushing people out too far.
Okay. Thank you for the adjustment on the 10th. I was one of the folks that was going to have a conflict. And then tonight we had case 13033. We'll be pushing that into.
Yeah, that's going to be March 10th.
Also. Yep. Okay. Thank you very much.
Are there additional business?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.